growing plants in space. Say what? That doesn't seem to make sense, prima facie. However, I've never said that actually in real life. This isn't about futuristic space colonies or science fiction. It's actually research happening right now with implications that reach far beyond space stations and Mars missions. Scientists are discovering that plants grown in microgravity can reveal a great deal about resilience, nutrition, and innovation. From improving how we design crops to withstand climate stress here on Earth, to developing new ways of producing vitamins, proteins, and even life-saving medicines directly in plants. The research is changing the way we think about food security and healthcare. So to talk us through this truly fascinating field, I'm very pleased to say that Farley Kwok van der Giesen, a research associate at the Australian Research Council Centre of Excellence in Plants for Space at the University of Western Australia, joins us on the line. Farley, thanks for making the time this morning, man.
Morning, Nelson. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. Man, how do we grow a plant in space? I was not a science guy at school, but I know that sounds very hard.
Yeah, well, that's spot on. Plants don't like to grow in space, in short. They don't have any sense of gravity. The atmosphere, obviously, up there is a bit different to down here. Sunlight's a big issue, and finding out ways to adapt to these extreme environments can tell us a lot about how we can inform sustainability and renewability here on Earth.
Right. So are we talking tiny greenhouses floating in the International Space Station?
Yeah, so there's actually a few experiments happening on the ISS at the moment where they're growing plants like lettuce and chili and then sending the samples back down to see how their genes respond to growing in the extreme environment of space. And our vision really is for lunar and Mars bases, and so we're thinking about controlled, compact environments to grow high-yield, very nutritious plants.
Wow. And are these consumed on the menus of astronauts?
Yeah, so the astronaut menu at the moment is mostly freeze-dried food, which they rehydrate, which isn't exactly sustainable if we're thinking about long-term missions. So to make space travel sustainable, they're going to have to be able to grow their own food either on the ship or on the base. And so they will be growing pick-and-eat plants, which have been engineered to produce different nutrients that they wouldn't otherwise get from plants, and so they can have a complete diet, which is completely sustainable up there.
Wow. And do you think this is going to get more common?
Well, we hope so. I mean, it's quite a while away before we go to the moon or Mars. So the plan is 2030 and 2040 for the moon and then Mars, respectively. And yep, we've got a lot of work to do before then. And we're sort of looking at sort of weird plants that we wouldn't normally eat. So one of the plants on our menu at Plants for Space is duckweed.
What the hell is that?
So you've probably seen it growing on top of a pond, maybe.
Oh, yes.
Just a tiny little green leaf. And the good thing about duckweed as a plant for space travel is that it doesn't need soil. So we don't have to ship up a bunch of earth soil. It can just grow on water.
Wow. Okay. That's fascinating. You know, hypothetically, we may be in a situation where climate change impacts our capacity to grow crops on Earth. Could space potentially be somewhere we go to grow crops? Could we do it at an industrial scale one day?
Yeah, I think the cost to blast up and then bring it down from space might be a little bit prohibitive, but the technologies that we develop to grow plants at high mass in controlled environments could be translated directly here back on Earth, where we could grow growth chambers or build growth chambers in harsh environments like places afflicted by heavy drought or a lot of flooding. And what we'd like to do is sort of increase our food security by growing plants in controlled environments which don't rely on rainfall or temperatures which are changing in the changing climate.
Yeah. Could that be translated to for medicine and vaccines?
Absolutely. So in plant cells, what we're looking into is producing medicines and vaccines in the chloroplast. So the chloroplast is where photosynthesis happens. That's where sunlight gets converted to energy. And the chloroplast actually used to be a little bacteria itself. So it has the capacity to sort of produce high amounts of things like medicines within the plant cell, similar to the way that some pharmaceuticals are already made. And we think that if we can engineer certain pathways in plants, then we could turn those genes on for medicine and make a strain that is specifically for extracting a particular compound.
Yeah. What does this mean for the future of long-term space travel? Because I imagine that the, you know, finite resources that one can bring to space can stop us doing very, very long-term missions. Does this allow us to do missions potentially going for decades?
Yeah, well, what we're aiming for is complete sustainability. So there's so many factors when it comes to space travel. So the atmosphere that we take up there, so plants breathe in carbon dioxide and release oxygen. Humans breathe in oxygen, release carbon dioxide. So we need to really be careful with the sort of number of plants that we have, because we can't have them completely dominating that space atmosphere with oxygen. So there's a lot to think about, more than just growing as much as we can, but actually completely controlling the environment so that there's basically 100% recyclability within that environment. And if we can get there or close to there, then it's possible that, yeah, space missions can last many, many years.
Wow. Mate, thank you so much for making the time this morning. That's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, great, Nelson. Thanks for having me on.
No worries. That's Farley Kwok van de Giesen, Research Associate of the Australian Research Council Centre of Excellence in Plants for Space at the University of Western Australia.